Pulse of the Pack podcast. Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to this version of Pulse of the Pack. We are back after NFL Combine weekend. I am Jacob Westendorf, your host, and joined with me, as always, is Jason Perrone. Jason, how are you doing out there?
Doing good. Doing fantastic. It's funny. We are only a couple weeks removed from the Super Bowl, but it's already exciting to have the NFL once again front and center, unless you happen to watch the end of the Golden State, Oklahoma City NBA basketball game last night. But for the most part this weekend, the NFL once again rules the headlines, and it's good to see.
Yes, and Stephen Curry, you are ridiculous, is what I learned last night. Not that I didn't already know that to begin with. Also with us, we have a special guest, the Cheesehead TV lead draft writer and my personal friend, Cody Bauer. Cody, it's been a while. How have you been?
I've been pretty good, man. Excited to be on. Thank you guys very much for asking me. Looking forward to talking a little draft, a little Packers, Combine. It's a good time of the year, I know.
Absolutely. One of my favorite times of the year. It's a good time for everything right now. And I want to start with Packers news tidbits. Obviously, the NFL Combine was this weekend, but that wasn't really front and center at the beginning of the week. Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson talked. The big bit of news out of McCarthy's press conference and reports was basically that they've reopened contract talks with B.J. Raji and reached out to Mason Crosby. Now, the report of Crosby is not surprising. Obviously, he was going to be in the fold, or at least they really hope so, unless something drastically changes from what they normally do, how they normally do things. Raji, though, a little more surprising because of the re-signing of LaTroy Guyon. Raji probably looking for a little bit longer term of a contract here because of the way the last two seasons have played out. Jason, what are your thoughts on the contract talks? I know you love kickers, so I wanted to start with you. So give a little love to Mason Crosby, and then, you know, what do you think on the contract talks of B.J. Raji?
Well, you're right. I do love kickers, but I kind of, you know, on our last show with Michelle, I felt like I kind of had to defend my ranking Crosby so highly on the list of Packers on the roster. So now that that's done, we can go back to and come back down to earth and remember that kickers are not real people. I joke when I say that. Obviously, Mason Crosby is a human being with feelings. He's a real guy. But, no, I mean, they'll get him done, so he's not really much to talk about. That's not unexpected, and I'd be surprised if he's not back. Raji did surprise me for the reasons you mentioned, Jacob, the Guyon agreement, which was kind of surprising when that happened, because I think when you and I spoke, we both kind of agreed that of the two, if it was a one or the other situation, Raji was more of a favorable choice in both of our opinions. But Guyon got the contract, and then you also take into consideration that this is supposed to be a pretty deep draft in terms of the defensive linemen that are coming out. And Cody, I know, thanks for coming on the show, first of all. And I know that in your mock that came out, now this was obviously a few weeks ago and before Guyon signed, but you actually had a defensive lineman coming to the Packers in the draft. And so that was kind of was interesting that they had reached out to B.J. Raji, but it seems like, you know, and the description was mutual interest. And so you know that that means that Raji understands that he's not going to break the bank. If you want to be back in Green Bay, you're going to get paid, you know, well, but you're not going to break the bank. And so if that's the case, then, you know, the Packers may actually have a little bit more veteran depth on that defensive line. So I can't complain. I hope they're able to get a deal done, but I definitely still think they should keep an eye on who they might be able to bring in once the draft comes around.
I think this kind of coordinates a little bit with Mike Pennell's suspension. You know, the idea was that he was supposed to grow up and have another year under his belt and, you know, kind of take another step forward. Well, with a suspension looming, I think adding, re-signing Raji for that veteran presence is probably going through their minds right now. I personally am not a huge proponent of re-signing Raji unless the money is absolutely right, which means relatively cheap.
Relatively cheap is a good way to describe it. Cody, yeah, you said you've had a pretty strong opinion on Raji from the get-go. Weren't you in the camp of Guyon over Raji?
Yes, I was. I particularly liked Guyon's flexibility to play end as well as nose, which put him, you know, slightly above Raji for me. I also thought that Guyon was making more splash plays than Raji. He runs so hot and cold. He's either dominant or dormant. You know, you'll see him crash down a play and disrupt a play in the backfield, and then for two quarters he'll just disappear. I think Guyon provides more flexibility as far as where he can line up on the line, and then also where, you know, his impact in the passing game as well as the run game.
I tend to side with the last opinion that you gave there on Raji with the money, and that is, if it's absolutely right, you know, relatively cheap, feel free to bring him back, because I think that depth on the defensive line is never a bad thing. I'm also a believer that you're going to see Dayton Jones in more places than just on the defensive line this year. I think he's going to play, at least at present structure, more outside linebacker. They're going to try and get him on the field more. The new Mike Neal is kind of what I've been calling him, but I think he is a better player than Mike Neal. But depth on the defensive line is never a bad thing. Even if they keep Jones there the majority of the time, you have Guyon, and if they do decide to draft one of the defensive linemen in this draft, and there is a lot of them, you know, essentially instead of replacing a guy that you had as a starter, now that guy that you're drafting is replacing Josh Boyd or Christian Ringo or one of those, you know, second group of defensive linemen types. And defensive linemen, in general, tend to take a year before they're NFL ready because they got to get their NFL body under them, things of that nature. So Raji is going to be an interesting case going forward. I think that eventually, unless somebody comes in and offers him massive money that is unforeseeable to me at this point, I think you're going to see him back in Green Bay for a relatively cheap contract. So everybody wins in that scenario. And I still think the Packers take a defensive lineman because they've done so every year since Ted Thompson has become the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. Speaking of general manager Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy said in his press conference that the Packers, quote, may shock you in free agency. That same day, Ian Rappaport, who kind of tends to be in the know, or at least he has been in the past with Green Bay, there was a year where he said the Packers were going to be more active in free agency, and that year they signed Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon. The weird part of what Rappaport tweeted was that the Packers could be in the market for, quote, a complement wide receiver. I'm not so sure that they don't already have a complement wide receiver that's a free agent in James Jones if they're looking for a veteran type for that role. But in essence, I want to start here first, and then I'll move into the deeper question that comes off of it, of course. But, Cody, what do you make of the wide receiver group? Because as of right now, before James Jones James Jones hasn't been re-signed, obviously. So with James Jones not under contract, there's six receivers on the roster. What do you make of that group going forward, assuming the return of a healthy Jordy Nelson?
I think it's really strong group, to be honest. I'm as miffed as you are about the report of a complimentary wide receiver. We all, you know, remember Jordy going out and can't wait to have him back. That's our bona fide number one. That's a stud. But our offense drastically changed as far as effectiveness goes when Montgomery went down, and people forget that was a third-round pick last year. You look from top to bottom, it's a pretty deep class, and the experience that Aberderis and Janis got last year being thrust in the lineup with the injuries, I think will speak volumes going into this offseason and into next year, where you know they should take another step up as well. So the talk of a complimentary wide receiver or exploring that option in free agency doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm not sure what they would be looking for. And like you mentioned, if they just wanted another complimentary guy, I mean, James Jones had flashes last year of playing really, really good ball. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I really like the core group that we have right now.
One name that I didn't hear you mention was Davante Adams, and I know he's gotten a lot of scorn from Packers fans, and even the organization alike, they kind of came down hard on him at the end of the season. Are you first of all, I guess briefly, what do you think of him when he was drafted, and then now obviously what do you think of him now?
I particularly didn't care for him in the second round. I thought it was a little early. He was kind of a product of a gimmicky offense at Fresno State where they just force-fed him the ball. A lot of screens. Athletically, he just tested okay. His vertical, of course, was good. But I think a lot of people just saw his production and kind of fell in love, thinking, man, he caught 100-plus balls in college, and he could step right in. And now, again, probably like much a lot of the Packer fans, I'm a little leery as if he's ever going to develop into a competent number two wide receiver in the NFL. Too many mental lapses. Him and Rodgers have just never been on the same page. I like his toughness after the catch, but, you know, you got to catch the ball. There's just too much inconsistency with him being able to get the ball. And I'm not going to write him off, but, you know, this is the very telling year. I wouldn't be surprised to see Montgomery or potentially even Janis or Aberderis get some starts over him if he doesn't really improve. He's got a long ways to go, and I think the competition behind him, you know, it's close to it.
Interesting take there on Davante Adams. Definitely a guy to keep an eye on in the offseason. Jason, I don't want to leave you out here. We've talked about the receivers group and what we kind of think of it going forward. What is your opinion on this report, though, that the Packers are looking at a complimentary wide receiver? I know you and I kind of discussed some of the free agent receivers, but, you know, kind of like Cody and I have both said, isn't that pretty much James Jones if they want a compliment type?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear it would be a receiver. The only, you know, tongue-in-cheek thing I can say to that is it's still Ted Thompson, so who knows? With Ted, you never know what's going to happen and what they're thinking. So, you know, he gets enamored with a guy. He likes a guy. They go after him. And then there's always, you know, still maybe a few guys that might get cut, and then they won't count against a compensatory pick equation, because we know that that's important to Thompson and the Packers. So that list of guys that are out there in free agency, you know, which included Alshon Jeffrey, who's not going to, the Bears aren't going to let him go. They'll keep him, but he's, you know, technically set to become a free agent. You've got, you know, guys like Mohamed Sanu, Anquan Boldin's out there, Jermaine Kearse. I don't see the Seahawks necessarily letting him go. Maybe he does hit free agency. Just a few of the names out there. I mean, Green Bay's got the guys on their roster right now, and with what we saw at the end of the season from Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis, you know, I know that the Janis game against the Cardinals was a little fluky, because that's not the offense that's called try to tie a game or win a game in the playoffs and do what you can and, you know, chuck it up and close your eyes. But I still think that Janis warrants more time and more looks in the offense, so I don't know who they bring in or why, but the one good thing that we know at this point is that if they do it, they have a plan, there's a reason for it, and they're not going to hurt themselves financially doing it. It's going to be a good deal for the team, so we just kind of have to trust the process. But I'd be really surprised, unless obviously barring an injury, that they go free agency at receiver. I mean, there's some good receivers in the draft as well, and I expect them to look in that direction. I know that the receivers haven't done particularly well this year at the combine, so we'll see. That's going to be an interesting position to keep an eye on.
Moving away from the receiver topic and thinking, you know, obviously the Packers don't use free agency very often. You're going to hear that about 100,000 times between now and when free agency actually does begin, a week from Wednesday. But nonetheless, that doesn't make it fun to speculate, or less fun to speculate, I should say. Mike McCarthy, another thing he said, like I said, he said they may shock you when it comes to free agency. So put your general manager hat on, Mr. Bauer. Who or what do you think the Packers will or should do in free agency?
Well, those are two different questions. What I think they will do, not much. And, yes, it's going to get said a million times, but there aren't a whole lot of free agents that are really tickling my fancy out there. What I would do is I would definitely kick the tires on Danny Trevathan, the inside linebacker from Denver. I think exploring some of the possible free agent tight ends, I like the name Dwayne Allen from Indianapolis. I also kind of was warming up to the idea of Antonio Gates, kind of like on a one-year, you know, bon voyage kind of, you know, trip for him. However, reports are that the Chargers were going to lock him back up. It's such a weak class of tight ends this year that it's a possibility that he would explore an option like Allen or Gates, even a Virgil Green. But ultimately, I don't think he ends up bringing anyone in. Another inside linebacker, or his the Trevathan, I think that's going to be too high price for him to go after that way. I really don't think I see him bringing in any free agents. But like I said, I would kick the tires on Trevathan and see what kind of tight ends are going to be at a reasonable price.
Okay, so there's that from them. Jason, you know, we've kind of gone over a few things a little bit here or there. So, with that in mind, who are your guys in terms of free agency?
I don't know about specific guys. I like Trevathan. I think Cody's got a point. I think the price is going to be too high. I don't think that he's going to land in Green Bay because you go to Super Bowl, you perform well, you have a good season. That's where you make your money, and those are the kind of deals that don't typically get done by the Packers. We talked a little bit about the possibility of Matt Forte. I still don't see it happening. Perhaps, maybe, if he somehow slips into the second and beyond week of free agency, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So I don't know about a specific guy that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, fortunately, the Packers don't have a ton of holes that they have to fill that are need areas. You know, the Rams did cut James Laurinaitis. I don't know how well he translates into the Packers defense. He was a big name coming out of the Ohio State University. I know that pains you to hear, Jacob, but you know, and that was more of a name thing back then. I don't think that he's necessarily had a stellar career, but he's a name that people know. And so Packers fans, as we know, and those that follow on Twitter, kind of get excited by big names. They like big names. So I don't really know. I mean, we look at the obvious holes, and I think Cody hit the nail on the head. I think it's linebacker and tight end. That's where they should focus their search. And there's probably going to become some more guys available that we don't know about yet. And I can't think of any that are out there right now that are, man, they have to have this guy. I think the draft is going to be a little bit more fruitful for Green Bay. I mean, if they can get Trevathan, great. I think he would, out of anybody, probably be the one that I would be the most behind and support the most that they were going to go after. But otherwise, you know, right now it's just kind of stacking for depth and we'll just kind of see. The good news is the Packers have, you know, the salary cap was announced, so they've got a little over $20 million again to spend or to play with. And once again, they find themselves in good shape. So whatever they do, like I said before, you know, whatever they do, we know that the team will be in good shape and they'll still be viable for this year, next year, to lock up their own guys and hopefully make their team better.
They are in good shape. And one other, you know, bit of good news is, for the most part, if you look at the Packers' needs, and we will discuss those later, the draft is pretty strong as far as those needs go. The big one is the tight end position, and Cody mentioned it. The tight end class this year, it was really depressing. Cody and I were talking, you know, shortly after college football season ended, and we watched, you know, we mentioned tight ends. We were like three guys we like. We were like Jordan Leggett from Clemson, Jake Butt from Michigan, and O.J. Howard from Alabama. And all three of them went back to college. It was kind of depressing. I'm not on the Hunter Henry train. I think he'd be an okay. He'd be an upgrade to Richard Rodgers athletically, but I mean, at that juncture, so would a toothpick. You know, there's not a lot of things that are less athletic than Richard Rodgers at that position. So I've said this before. If the Packers are going to focus in free agency on anything, I think it's a tight end. I think that you can get by drafting inside linebackers. I think that they obviously think highly of Jake Ryan. They drafted him in the fourth round. I think he'll be in the mix at some juncture. I think that Clay Matthews is still going to play inside a little bit, but I do think that's not to say they don't need an inside linebacker. I think they do, and I wouldn't be opposed to them taking two of them. I don't think they need two of them, but if they if the board fell a certain way and they did, they could. However, tight end is where the free agents, you know, Cody mentioned a couple of them. Dwayne Allen's one. Yates, not so much. Like I said, I've always been under the assumption he was going back to the Chargers. There's other guys out there. One name I continue to just wait to hear that he's been released is Martellus Bennett out of Chicago. And it appears that, at least for now, the Bears are listening to trade offers. But the according to the radio station I listen to down here, at least, according to those guys, the market for him is not very high because most people just assume he's going to be released at some point or another. Tight end is the spot to attack in free agency, in my opinion. I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. I think the talent there is better. I think there's a lot of plug-and-play type guys that don't necessarily exist in the draft. Now, had one of those three guys I mentioned earlier come out and entered the draft, then maybe we could have a conversation about something like that and fixing those needs of the draft. But they didn't, and I don't particularly like a lot of the guys in the draft. I think a lot of them are you're not going to get a lot of production out of them in the first year. I could be wrong, but that's how I feel on that. So free agency-wise, like I said, tight end. Ultimately, I think if they do sign somebody, it would be surprising. And that's just the way that they operate. And with the way the Packers are set up next season with four offensive linemen set to be free agents and Eddie Lacy and Daytone Jones and other players, they're going to need a lot of money to re-sign some of those guys, especially David Bakhtiari, who they've made pretty clear he's going to be the left tackle for years to come. So, you know, those guys don't tend to come very cheap. To transition into our draft discussion, before we do that, one other kind of fun tidbit is co-founder of Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nadler, sat down and talked to Mike McCarthy, which was kind of cool. That interview is up on Cheesehead TV if you guys want to give it a look. Good information there. One of the big things was, you know, Jordy Nelson, who we've discussed, is supposedly way ahead of schedule. He looks good as new. Looks like he never got hurt. Ted Thompson even joked that he kind of wondered if he ever was hurt. And as a way only Ted Thompson can, that was hilarious. But transitioning into our drafting, Tony Pauline is reporting via WalterFootball.com that the player most coveted at this juncture by the Packers is Michigan State tackle Jack Conklin. Cody, we're going to start with the offensive line because of that news. What do you make of the news that the Packers could be looking at an offensive lineman? And Conklin sounds like the buzz that he's getting and some of the stuff I watched. I mean, that guy's a first-round pick. It's not like we're talking a third or fourth rounder. That's pick number 27 that they would be using on offensive tackle. What do you make of that?
I ultimately don't love the idea of taking a tackle in the first round. However, you know, if the board fell a certain way where Conklin would be their highest-rated player, I think you can pull the trigger on it and justify it. I was a big Conklin guy going into this year, and I thought he played really, really well in stretches this year, but then he ended up having a knee injury. And I thought he came back, and it took a couple games for him to kind of regain, you know, his dominance, I should say, because he really was a very, very good football player. And then in the game against Alabama, he was absolutely dominant. The idea of taking a tackle, number one, again, it can be justified for the following reasons. One, Bakhtiari is going to be a free agent. Two, Bakhtiari is also inconsistent and has now been banged up a little bit. So we realized last year that Barclay is not an effective six offensive lineman. We don't really have one other than Treader, who only probably should stay on the interior. So thinking about taking a tackle in the first round, I get it. And after Conklin's combine, where I don't think a lot of people thought he was going to be, you know, one of the top-tier athletic guys. He had, you know, a little bit of a gut around him. He was a walk-on, wasn't highly recruited, you know, more of a try-hard kind of guy. I think he turned some heads a little bit by running, you know, I think it was a 5-second 40, looked good in the bench and all these other drills. So I get it why they're highly rating him, and I get why they would justify taking him in the first round. I think a lot of the fan base might not exactly understand what was going on there, but, you know, looking down the line just even in 1 year, you could see why, okay, well, if we lose Bakhtiari, that makes sense to have Conklin awaiting. And to be honest with you, I like Bakhtiari a lot, but giving him some competition, I wouldn't write in blood that Bakhtiari would be the starting left tackle if the Packers drafted Conklin or one of the other first-round valued offensive tackles. I think you could stand to see him have some competition and the best man win out, and the person who doesn't win that starting job, you'll play that sixth offensive lineman's backup tackle role.
Not just that role for Bakhtiari specifically, but remember, Brian Bulaga has never played a full season. Like, he's missed at least one game ever. The only year that he actually played a full season and didn't miss a game due to injury was his first year, his rookie season, and he didn't start every game that year. So there was four games. He didn't start until week five when Mark Tauscher went down for the season. Bulaga would start the remaining 12 games and play in the playoffs as well. But Bulaga has never played a full season. So you almost have to plan. Like, when Green Bay re-signed him, it's almost like you had to plan for him to miss a couple games here or there because he just hasn't played a full season. So drafting a tackle early might also be with – it's like an insurance plan with Brian Bulaga. You know, you kind of let him wait in the wings. He's the swing tackle. Maybe he's Bakhtiari's replacement, but if nothing else, you know that you have somebody who's not Don Barclay as Brian Bulaga's eventual replacement. But I just wanted to get a quick opinion on that before we moved on to assessing the Packers' main needs. And I think that most people will agree – maybe I missed one here or there. You guys feel free to disagree. But I, not really in a particular order, listed their main needs as inside linebacker, tight end, defensive lineman, pass-catching running back, and an edge pass rusher. Again, not necessarily in order. But I guess my question is, and Cody, we'll start with you, is of those positions at each of those spots, or if you have a different need, feel free to address, what is your favorite fit for the Packers, draft-wise, from each of those needs?
Well, I'll add in offensive lineman just because we briefly talked about it and the need for a swing tackle slash possible eventual replacement is also out there. But at each of those places, I like, and I'm going to steal your guy here, but he's also been my guy a long time for now throughout this draft process, Tyler Higbee, tight end from Western Kentucky. I really like that fit at tight end. He's a big kid, 6'6", 250, big hands. He didn't participate in the combine, didn't do any of the running drills. I'm still recovering from an injury, but at his pro day, he should be able to participate fully. I think athletically, after the catch, he's probably the best tight end in the draft. Now, he's projected to kind of go around with that late day two, possibly early day three, but with the way the tight ends performed at the combine, I could see him getting a stock up just by default by not participating. After the catch, he's kind of beastly. You know, you'll see him. I don't want to compare him to Kelsey because that's pretty lofty, but you know, he works hard for every yard he gets. I think he's really fast. He can turn a corner on a linebacker, whereas a lot of the other big name guys are just more going to be more in the Richard Rodgers role, plotters, sure-handed, that kind of thing. Defensive line. Well, in my most recent mock, I had Jaron Reed, defensive lineman from Alabama, mock to us. I like that fit. I think he's versatile enough to also play nose as well as 5-tech, 3-4 DN for us. He's a great run stuffer. According to PFF, he was one of the tops in the country in college on getting stops, which are runs in the backfield or at 0 or 1 yard. He really just swallows up running backs that try to get through gaps around him. He's very strong, can bully offensive linemen. Not a great pass rusher at this stage, but as a rotational guy, you know, guy who can play two downs, almost like our Raji replacement if he were to walk, I like that fit quite a bit. Those are realistic fits. Edge defenders, now this is, hear me out on this, because I'm going to go with Leonard Floyd from Georgia. He's just a junior. However, he's an older prospect. I think he's going to be 24 by the time the season rolls around, which is a little bit of a red flag when you look back at the Packers draft history in the first round. Is generally guys who are real young. Aha, Clinton Dix was young. Bulaga was young. But Floyd, you have that versatility with him where he can play off the ball linebacker in the inside as well as threaten the edge, which I think would be a lot of fun for Dom Capers, trying to mix-match him and Clay Matthews, the versatility on who's coming from where. You look at Floyd's testing numbers today, he ran a 4.6, which is pretty good for a guy's size. I think he was at 245, 244. But then you look at his explosion numbers, his broad jump and his vert. This guy is, you know, explosive. You know, he'll see a gap, he'll shoot it before the offensive lineman can turn their heads. He's making a play in the backfield. I think he could be an interesting option in round one. As far as pass catching receivers go, I do think a compliment to Eddie Lacy would be ideal. Getting a guy who could play all three downs in case Lacy ends up going, which, you know, unless he gets his act together, I don't see the Packers re-signing him. And Starks, of course, is a free agent. Some complete guys on day two that I would look at are Kenneth Dixon from Louisiana Tech. I think he catches the ball really well. He's a touchdown scoring machine for them. A guy who can really see the hole, hit the hole, runs with good pad level. And another kid I really like is CJ Procise from Notre Dame. A big kid, 6 foot, 220 pounds, ended up running a 4.47, really quick. You watch a game, go like put on a USC tape. You know, he just was that offense for Notre Dame. The way he finishes runs, runs hard. I just really like his potential, and he's a former wide receiver, so you know that he has good hands. He caught a lot of balls for Notre Dame this year. He's just really scratching the surface of what he can be, and again, he's a guy who can develop into a three-down back as well as just be a good complement to his rookie year. Edge defenders, you know, I think we all are hoping Noah Spence would drop to us, and I kind of mentioned Leonard Floyd in that edge-slash-inside linebacker role. Another guy in day two to look at would be a Kyler Fackrell from Utah State. He plays a little upright. He's a taller guy. But, again, he ended up testing pretty well at the combine. You watch some of his tape, and he really pops off. He makes a lot of plays in the backfield. He disrupts a lot of timing on the offense. I think a guy like maybe in the third round, you know, potential for him to fall there would be a good time to actually grab an edge guy. But with Clay Matthews moving back to edge by everyone's accounts, I'm not sure that edge is as good as needed or as great as needed as an inside guy. I have a feeling that we're going to sign either Neal or Perry. And with Jayron Elliott potentially taking a step up, who I'd love to see get on the field more, I'd put that one on a little bit back burner.
Okay, so there you have Cody Bauer's opinion on all sorts of Packers needs, really. He gave a lot of information there. So I'm going to have to go back and listen to it again just to make sure I catch everything. Jason, I know that you kind of said that you haven't really dug in a whole lot yet, so I'm not going to ask you for need by need here, but do you have a couple specific guys that you like that are realistic? Miles Jack is not one of them. I'm sorry to report that to you.
Anything is possible, Jacob. And as you know, Ted Thompson may shock us this season. It might just not be in free agency. So just keep that in the back of your mind and you know, bookmark this quote fingers tweet for later. So actually, Cody, you and I talked about Jack in a conversation before as well. And, yeah, I mean, I haven't really dug in as much. I want to take a second before I jump in here to just remind everybody that the Pro Football Guide draft guide is coming out soon. All three of us are actually going to be working on it. So looking forward to a lot of the great work that everybody's putting together. Some of the usual suspects will be back as well. Jersey Al, Zach Cruz, Andrew Garda, Ross Uglum is joining us this year. Jason Hirschhorn's going to do a feature piece. We had him on a show a couple weeks ago. So some new faces and some great new insight on the draft. So we'll have more information for you on that and check that out for sure. And I was tasked with kind of profiling the safeties, and because of that I've been focusing more on that position group and don't have as much insight as you guys. And safety is also not a big need for Green Bay either. So I've been a little bit out of the loop. As far as specific guys, I look at the mock drafts, and obviously it's very early in the process right now. I mean, we have to talk about the draft because that's what's coming up. Free agency first, but draft is coming, and, you know, that's what football fans want to hear, and they're starved for any conversation. So, you know, the one guy that intrigues me, and he's a very popular name that's been mentioned before, but I actually did watch some tape on him just to kind of get an idea of how much this hype was warranted, and I liked what I saw. And that was Reggie Ragland out of Alabama at inside linebacker. I think the issue there, not the issue necessarily, but the question is how much does Thompson value that position to make the kind of pick it's going to take to get a Reggie Ragland? Because, you know, a couple of years ago when they drafted HaHa Clinton Dix, both Ryan Shazier and C.J. Mosley were off the board. And the prevailing thought was that the Packers liked one or both of them. I think they really like Shazier. And
Jason, to cut you off there, I know for a fact from my time of interning that if Ryan Shazier was on the board, or at least according to the reports that we were given, if Ryan Shazier was on the board, Shazier was going to be the pick there.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well, and that came out. And unfortunately, I think more with regards to Mosley, if Bolt had been available, it would have been interesting to see which direction Green Bay would have gone and then what would have become of the safety position, because it was such a mess before they brought Clinton Dixon. So in a way, that kind of worked out, but inside linebacker is just, it doesn't seem to be with the level of inactivity that we've seen at that position. I mean, they stuck with A.J. Hawk for so long. They put Brad Jones out there. They had Nate Palmer out there for so long, where we were clamoring for Jake Ryan to get more playing time because we were just so tired of seeing Palmer, like, miss and get blown off the screen more often than not. And they seem to, and I think they should probably give Jake Ryan every opportunity to grow and improve. He might have already hit his ceiling. I don't know. But after one season of rookie year, he does seem to have the work ethic. But, you know, I mean, his physical abilities are what they are. So, to me, it's inside linebacker. That's a big, big position of need there. But in the first round, we've seen Thompson do so many kind of different things. Jacob, we talked about it a little bit earlier today. And I talked with Jason Hirschhorn about it, too, and I just said he's, you know, Ted Thompson's so unpredictable, and Jason kind of disagreed a little bit and said, well, is he really? But, you know, that's the thing. That's what makes it fun, is that, you know, the Packers don't have a ton of needs, so I think they can really go with whoever the best player is on their board. I mean, they grabbed Demarius Randall last year, and that was kind of unexpected to a lot of people, and that worked out well. So whatever direction they go, I'm inclined to trust the process, and fortunately, you know, they're not in a situation where they need a big key piece and they have to hit a home run here in this draft or they're going to be in trouble. So I kind of failed there in terms of specific names of guys that I like. I think I'll probably have more as we move along in the process to talk about. But I would say, you know, for me, it's kind of the low-hanging fruit. You know, I like Ragland because he fills a need and he's a good player. And that's, you know, there's a possibility that he could be available when Green Bay picks. He may even be a little bit of a reach that high, according to some analysts. So that's kind of my take on the whole thing, but going to be fun to watch how things develop and once the combine's over, for sure.
Definitely something that's what makes this time of the year fun, is because we know so little, but we want to act like at least that we know a lot. And realistically, I don't think Ted Thompson is predictable, because not one mock draft, even shot in the dark types, even though it was, you know, mock drafts, you know, a little, but not a lot. Not one predicted Demarius Randall to be the first round pick of the Green Bay Packers last year. So there's that. But as far as team needs go, I mentioned the ones earlier, offensive linemen. I think you could see some, you know, later on. I really don't think, unless there's a first round value like Ronnie Stanley or Jack Conklin or a guy like that, I really don't think a tackle is going to be there first pick in the first round, unless it's somebody they absolutely cannot refuse. But those are a couple names that I think you can get early on, obviously. But as far as the needs I mentioned earlier, inside linebacker, I don't think there's any question that's the biggest need on this Packers defense. I think that, you know, you've seen that the Packers knew that they didn't have anybody there because they took their best player and put him there. They put Clay Matthews on the inside because everything else was so bad. And the nightmare that I have recurring in my head is that the starting inside linebackers in the first game of next season are Jake Ryan and Sam Barrington. And nothing against those guys, because I think that they could be okay players, but neither one of them is athletic enough to give at least what Matthews, who really didn't even know what he was doing for most of last season, meaning 2014, playing the position. There's no question that's the biggest need on the defense, and I think the Packers need an athlete in that spot. They could use a thumper like Ragland, but the athlete I'm looking at is Darren Lee out of Ohio State. And at times, from the film I've watched on him, it looks like he doesn't necessarily trust his instincts all the time. You can tell he just kind of transitioned to linebacker. But that athleticism can't be denied. His combine, he blew it up today. I mean, there's a lot to like about Darren Lee from an athletic standpoint. I think that he'll learn his ways. He gets more comfortable with the position. I think if you plug him next to a thumper, that could be Jake Ryan. It could be Sam Barrington. It could be another draft choice. Who knows? But you plug him next to a guy like that, I think he'd be a fantastic addition to this defense. He's a great coverage linebacker. That's something the Packers haven't had in a long time. tight end. Cody went over Tyler Higbee for you, so I don't have to. But I'm—I mean, like I said, I don't love a lot of tight ends in this draft. I don't hate Hunter Henry, but knowing that I would have to spend a top 60 pick probably to get him, that's a little too rich for my blood for a guy like that because I don't like him that much for a top 60 pick at least. Fast catching running back, the guy Kenyon Drake. I know he's been injury prone, but my goodness, he moves fast and he just is a mismatch problem. I think he can also contribute in the return game, which the Packers have a kick returner. They have Montgomery or they have Janis back there that can do that. As far as punt returners go, I think Micah Hyde could be upgraded from. Drake's had some experience doing that in the past. Defensive linemen. I've been watching, I watched Joey Bosa play, and this is the guy who kept flashing to me, or at least got my attention enough to pull my eyes away from Joey Bosa, and that was Adolphus Washington. Had some issues in college, some care, they'll call him character flaws. He had an arrest. He didn't get to play in the bowl game. But I think the guy can play. His motor may run a little hot and cold at times, but I do think that if they can get the right guy to get that motor running hot more often than not, I think he's an impact player early on too. And then the edge defender, it might be a pipe dream. It might not. I'm not sure. But Noah Spence, you know, Cody mentioned that guy earlier. A top 10 pick in some circles. A lot of people keep saying, like, he keeps failing interviews, and the guy must just be a numbskull because it's like people are trying to find ways to not pick him. And if you look at him athletically, he's might be the best edge defender in the draft, or at least pass rush-wise, could be the best pass rusher in the draft. That's at least an argument that can be had. So those are my guys. I'll get more, obviously, as time goes on here. I study a little bit more, things of that nature. But ultimately, the big thing is just I know that supposedly they don't value that spot as a linebacker. But years ago, a couple years ago, Jason, you mentioned that draft. You know, the story was that the Packers didn't value the safety position either, and they took Ha Ha Clinton Dix in the first round. So a leopard can change his stripes. So I am hoping that if Darren Lee specifically is available at number 27, that they sprint to the podium and make that pick. Speaking of inside linebackers, probably the saddest story of the weekend was Notre Dame linebacker Jalen Smith, because when he's healthy, he might be the best player in the draft. And some people say he even had a legitimate argument to be the number one overall pick. I don't know about that necessarily, but I do know that, I mean, his name is mentioned in the same sentence as Miles Jack as far as best linebackers in this draft. And that's hefty because they're talking about Miles Jack as a top five pick. Jalen Smith very easily could have been that as well. But, you know, depending on what you read and how much it is, one thing that's for sure, his medicals didn't go well. He was failed by some teams. Some people seem to think he could drop to day three. It at least looks likely he's not going to be a first-round pick. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. You know, we're kind of in wait-and-see mode on Jalen Smith, but we're paid to have opinions here, so I want an opinion. Cody, when, if at all, knowing what you know about Jalen Smith now, would you take a shot on this guy as the Packers general manager, knowing the way that the Packers general manager builds his team?
Unequivocally, 100%, yes, I'm taking a shot on him. And I'm not saying first round, I'm not even saying second or third. It obviously comes down to how the Green Bay doctors feel they are, how his test came back. Nerve damage is no joke. As far as neck nerve damages go, obviously we are very cautious as an organization. But, you know, with a knee, I think that he's worth taking the risk on early day three. When you look at fourth and fifth round draft picks, I mean, Jake Ryan started for us, sure, and Mike Daniels was a good pick. But there's also misses that go along with that. There's guys who aren't on the team or who haven't made the team ever for three-plus years. So to take a shot on a guy who's a top 15 pick, if healthy, on early day three, redshirt him a year, make sure his rehab is right, make sure his nerves are okay, his ligaments are healed. Why not? I think it's definitely worth the risk. He is one of the more athletic linebackers, which, of course, leads to the scariness of a knee injury potentially hurting what his strength is. However, even at 95%, he's still probably a better athlete than, you know, 75% of the linebackers in the league. So I think he's worth taking a risk on. Early day three is probably where I'd be at. But we have to keep in mind that our medical rechecks in, I believe, middle of April. So we'll see how it comes there. I mean, that's a couple months away, which, you know, more time, doctors will be able to get a better feel for it. I mean, I think he's 7 weeks removed from surgery right now. I don't really know, anticipate what they're, you know, looking to find with his knee and his ankle, but the nerve damage, I think, is probably what scared everybody off. However, it's 2016, medical technology has come a long way. Knee injuries aren't the end-all, be-all anymore. So for me, I'm taking the risk on them. And until I know more about the medical rechecks in April, I'd say early day three right now. But come April, if reports are, you know, looking better and better, then, you know, then I'd be more apt to take a risk early.
Okay, so and that's kind of the direction I'm leaning as well. The one thing you brought up was look at fourth and fifth round picks. I was thinking one of the compensatory picks, because those things I view kind of like, you know, bonus, goldmine type stuff. You know, you look at some compensatory picks turn into Mike Daniels. Other compensatory picks turn into Kyrie Thornton, who's not on the roster anymore. So I tend to agree with that assessment of get the guy who's talented, use one of your bonus picks, so it's like, you know, you didn't really expect to have that anyways. But knowing what I know about the way Ted Thompson builds the team is, I don't know if he can really afford to take a guy, definitely not in the first round. You can't afford, I don't think the Packers, the way they build their team, can afford to take a player in the first round who's not going to contribute his first year, because the Packers don't use free agency that often. The second round even has me a little leery for the same reason, because it's just hard when you have, again, an early, I think the Packers take, what, they'll pick 55th in the second round. I don't have that off the top of my head, but it's a top 60 pick. I do know that. A top 60 pick on somebody who's not going to contribute in this first year, that's difficult. That's where your comp picks come in, because those start as early as the third round. I don't really know how those are going to shake out, because we don't know at this moment. But Tremont Williams and Devon House got paid a lot of money. The Packers didn't sign anybody. The formula should be in their favor to get a couple of compensatory picks for those players. That's where you're looking at maybe a third or a fourth rounder for one or both of those guys. So hopefully that shakes out in their favor. That's when I would probably take Jalen Smith. Jason, we were talking about this earlier. What's your feeling on the Notre Dame linebacker?
Okay, so just to answer the question, the Green Bay picks 57th in round two, which is a round that we know that Ted Thompson does very well in. So you're right, it's a top 60 pick. I, again, admittedly don't have a lot of insight and research into this. It's just kind of the recency of the news and just kind of following it. But I do know who Smith is, because I watched him terrorize my Sun Devils when he was a rookie, or a freshman, I should say, at Notre Dame in 2013. And they knew back then that he was going to be special. And I still think we don't know, you know, although we don't know a lot about his condition and how much it's going to affect him and if he's going to recover. I mean, everything that he said, he gave an interview at the Combine, and he's saying all the right things. He still feels like he's the best player in this draft. He just can't show it right now. Those kind of injuries, you just never know. There's a lot of hurdles for him to overcome and clear to come back. Jacob, you kind of likened maybe the severity of it and compared it a little bit to Marcus Lattimore a couple of years ago, although they were a little bit different in nature. Lattimore, unfortunately, you know, he did get a chance with the Niners, just never got an opportunity to come back and play because he just couldn't get back and ended up having to give up football. So if Smith is able to continue his career, and like Cody said, the Green Bay doctors have to agree that he can and that he's ready, I think you have to look at the value there. You have to understand who this player is, what he's capable of doing. And even if he's not perfect and he may not be 100% of what he would have been before the bowl game injury, this is still a pretty top-flight talent. So I think Green Bay has to really carefully consider what they're doing here. Like I said before, they don't have a lot of immediate holes where they're desperate. They are absolutely without a guy at a specific position, and if they don't hit a home run on it, either in free agency or via the draft, they're going to be in trouble. They're not in that situation at any position on the field, in my opinion. So I do think, even though it's probably still going to take a higher pick than you probably want to use on a project or a guy who's not necessarily ready to step on the field right now, you have to look ahead and say, is the value worth it here, and do we have an opportunity to bring somebody in who could become special, just might not be today. You know, last year, Lyle Collins comes to mind. Now, he had some off-field issues that it plummeted his stock, and Dallas Cowboys ended up bringing him in after the draft. He wasn't even drafted, and they brought him in after the draft. Supreme talent at a very important position, and provided that he's cleared and there's no issues, they may have gotten a steal in him as an offensive lineman. So it's that type of situation here of, are we in a position to be able to wait for what he's going to become? And that might mean your worst-case scenario, Jacob, of another year of Barrington and Jake Ryan while they're, you know, if they have a Smith, while they're waiting for him to come into his own, but they have the wild card in Clay Matthews. I know they want to move him back outside, but they have the option to bring him back in the middle if they need to for another season. It didn't hurt him in 2014, didn't hurt him in 2015. 2014, they went to an NFC Championship game, and in 2015, they should have gone to an NFC Championship game, or could have. So, like I said, I think the Packers are in the perfect position to take him as a project pick and exercise a little bit of patience here, because if it pays off in the end, and he comes back and he's able to play later in 2016, or even if not till 2017, they could have themselves a supreme talent at a very important position if they're going to stick with this defensive scheme for a while, for many years to come.
One other bit of news about Jalen Smith is that he said he gushed about his interview with Mike McCarthy. He said he absolutely loved it, loved them, everything about it. So that's good news if he does happen to be in Green Bay. At least you know that he likes the coaching staff. But definitely, in my opinion, at least the most interesting prospect going into the draft because of, you know, obviously, like I said, he could have been a top five pick. He may not be a top five round pick at this rate. We just don't know at this moment in time. We'll keep you updated on that going forward. Here's our question segment of the day. We got one from you guys, and obviously, anybody who's listening here, you have an opportunity to get questions answered on the show. All you got to do is send them to us. We will read them on the show. We'll promote your Twitter handle, maybe get you some more followers out of it. Ultimately, though, we had one for the day, and that would be at Brian Russell 420. He is a emerging stand-up comedian, I believe, is what the impression I got of you was. So, Brian, we appreciate the question from you. And the question was, and this is perfect because of who's on the show with us. The question was, what do the Packers do if Reggie Ragland is available at pick 27? Cody, that doesn't provide a ton of context, but asking about Ragland specifically, what do you do if he's available at 27?
Again, without knowing much more other context, in depending on how the board fell, I would say that would be a solid quality pick for the Packers. There's not going to be a lot of flash, splashy plays, you know, tackles for loss, behind the line of scrimmage kind of plays from Ragland, but he is a very physical, sound football player who can lay the wood. I mean, you'll watch some highlights of him, and he's knocking dudes around. He can fill the hole. He's not as terribly unathletic as I think a lot of people make him out to be. He ended up running a decent time for a guy his size today at the combine, but that's not really his game. His game isn't really, you know, sideline to sideline, cover the linebacker, cover the tight end, running up the seam. He's more of a round the line of scrimmage, fill a hole, pop you in the mouth, tone setter, two down thumper, as they say. But at the third down, there's comes into questions on how he is. You know, Alabama had him go up and play edge a lot of the times on third down, or he'd be blitzing from the A or B gaps, and you know, a lot of that was to mask a lot of his coverage abilities or lack thereof. And as an edge rusher, he was just okay. He was very average. He wasn't, oh, man, I can't wait to, you know, blitz him on third down because he's going to get after it. He was just an okay blitzer, and he's just an okay coverage guy and a okay athlete. Well, that's a lot of okays for a first-round pick. But he does bring a lot to the table as far as his physicality goes. He's a smart defender, comes from Nick Saban's defense. He's played inside in the 3-4 before. I think ultimately, you know, without knowing how the board fell, I think it could be a good pick. It's probably right where his value is, maybe a little early. But you know, I could see the Packers pulling trigger on something like that, again, depending on how that board shook up.
Just another reminder on Ragland. According to Brian Caribou, 24/7 Sports, he reported that Ragland said that he thinks the Packers would take him if they can. My opinion on the question is, obviously, like Cody said, you know, we don't know who else is available on the board. I think the Packers could use a player like Ragland. However, I'm as new school as it gets with linebackers. I think that, you know, there's something to be said for a linebacker that does the dirty work, comes up and hits people. That's kind of the old school way of thinking, and that's fine. I understand that. That is a player that is useful to the defense. However, if there's an athletic player available at the position, like Darren Lee that I mentioned earlier, and I'm guessing if Ragland's available at 27, that means Lee was taken sometime earlier. However, since this is the sake of the argument, I would say I prefer an athletic player at that position. Cody, I'm with you. I watched – Reggie Ragland was one of the first linebackers I watched because I'd heard a lot about him, obviously watched him play. He played for Alabama. They're on TV all the freaking time. It's kind of disgusting to me because I don't like them very much. But, you know, they're a great football program, so that is what it is. The one worry – and I had the same worry about Ha Ha Clinton Dix a couple years ago. It turned out to be not a big deal with him, but it has been with others. In terms of the Alabama defense, is that is – I have the same question about some Denver Broncos players. You know, anybody who plays in a great defense, you've seen what, you know, Byron Maxwell has done since he's moved on, things of that nature. But is the sum of the whole of this defense that is Alabama greater than its individual parts? Reggie Ragland would be an individual part. But then you add in guys like – A'shaun Robinson, some of the other players he's played around, you know, he's got a huge defensive line in front of him. Did that help him play better? Maybe. You don't really know because he's never played behind small guys or not as good defensive linemen, you know, whatever the case may be. I think Ragland will be a good pick there. I don't think I would be disappointed. I think the only thing that would disappoint me is that probably means that some of the guys that I liked a little bit better were not available. And they had to settle, quote-unquote, on Ragland. As far as linebackers go, the earliest Ragland comes in for me is fourth, and that's assuming, you know, health of Jalen Smith, so probably third. You know, Miles Jack's at the top. Darren Lee's right up there with him. And then if you're not including Jalen Smith because of an injury, then you got Ragland hanging in there. Guys like Sua Kareva and stuff like that kind of come in behind that. But there's some good value there at 27. I don't think it's the worst pick in the world. But ultimately, I don't think that this is the inside linebacker that's the cure-all to what the Packers, you know, ills are. I think that you'll end up being a little bit frustrated once you see that Ragland isn't exactly what you're thinking in terms of athleticism. He can't cover guys as well, things of that nature. But not a terrible pick. I wouldn't be upset with it at all. Jason, you mentioned Ragland a little bit. What are your thoughts on Reggie at 27?
You guys pretty much covered most of it. I already kind of gave my vote of support for him, but I want it to make sense. It depends who's on the board. There's a lot of other guys I think that could probably help the Packers more so than what he does. I think he's kind of a good fit for the Packers offense because of what the linebackers typically are asked to do. But like Cody said, and Jacob, I think you mirrored it as well, you want that athleticism, and one of the issues that the Packers have had on defense in the middle is the ability to cover space, cover the pass. You know, linebackers, you find a linebacker that can cover the pass consistently and do well, and you lock them up and you hold on to them for dear life because they're very rare. So if it makes sense, great. And, you know, who knows how much the Packers like this guy. You know, the draft is – the intriguing thing about it is that we don't – obviously, teams aren't going to tip off who they like because they want to make sure they can draft these guys. They don't want to give away any of their desires. It's kind of like buying a car. You don't want to show the salesman that you're too in love with the car. You want to keep some of your bargaining power. So, you know, we don't know what the interviews are like. We don't know who's really appealing to and who's, you know, falling or rising on Green Bay's board. It'll be interesting to see. Ragland's the type of guy I could see coming to Green Bay. But, you know, if there's somebody else who's more dynamic on the board and a little bit more athletic, then I hope Green Bay goes that route. That's pretty much all that I've got on him.
The good news, everyone, the draft is 2 months from today. Today is February 28th. The draft is 2 months from today. It begins on April 28th. So that is interesting. It will be It will be a interesting draft season for sure here. One thing I just thought of is if they took Ragland, then you take a shot on Jalen Smith. Now we're kind of getting into something there a little bit, but that is a long way down the road. One last thing I want to do before we sign off here is mention again the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Jason, you mentioned it at the beginning. All three of us, everybody on the show right now, is working on Cheesehead TV draft guide. Cody, it would be wrong for me to be the one to promote this thing. It's a, it's really your baby because you are the lead draft writer of Cheesehead TV. So I'll just simply say, Jason said he was doing safeties. I'm doing interior alignment. Cody, this is your first year, I believe, with Cheesehead TV's draft guide. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but tell the viewers, tell the listeners why they should be interested in our draft guide.
This is my first year at doing the draft guide. Well, it's such a comprehensive piece of, you know, draft prospects that range from different people. And the guys that we've brought on, like you mentioned, Cruz and Garda and Jersey Al himself, I mean, these guys have been around football for a long time. The newcomers with you and Jason and Ruff, I'm really honored to be a part of it. I'm grateful enough to be able to do tight ends, which I know will be a big-time section that a lot of Packer fans will be reading over, as the need for it is obviously very strong. It's a great setup for how it's broken down. There's some guest pieces that are brought in from some other good writers. I think Nagler's even going to contribute. Hersham, you mentioned. If you're looking for guys who know the Packers and, you know, to put the time in on the NFL draft, then this is really, you know, your go-to guide for when it comes down on draft day and before prepping yourself so you know what you're watching for on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Do we have a set date on when this will be available for purchase?
You know, I'm not sure. You can reach out to Jersey Al and find out about that. I know that we have our deadlines on when we have to get our players in, but there's a lot of formatting that goes into it after that, making sure it's, you know, enjoyable for the reader. And, you know, it really is a must-have every draft year, especially if you're a Packer fan, on getting to know the prospects.
Okay, so what we'll do then is promise to tweet that out whenever we do get a day that the guide is ready for purchase. Cody, want to thank you, as always, for coming onto the show. I look forward to our post-draft Skype conversation that happens every year since, I believe, 2013, the year of Ha Ha Clinton Dix. I think that's a yearly tradition, unlike any other. So, to use some golf terminology for you guys. But thank you, Cody, for coming onto our show. Jason, thanks again for hosting this with me. And that will do it for today's Combine session. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter. That is at Packer Pulse. Again, it's a new Twitter handle, relatively new still. So follow that at Packer Pulse. Send us your questions. Send us your comments and concerns. You've got, you know, we read them on the air today. We read some questions on the air today. Brian Russell, 420, again, at Brian Russell. Give him a follow. Appreciate him for asking us a question. You can follow me personally. I am at Jacob Westendorf. You can follow Jason at Jason Perrone. And you can follow Cody Bauer, our lead draft analyst, at C Bauer NFL Draft. That is our guy right there. Appreciate you guys coming. Next time we do the show, the Packers free agency will probably have already opened. It opens a week from Wednesday, March 9th. The new league year begins. Free agent frenzy goes bonkers. A week from tomorrow, the legal tampering period, which is the weirdest thing in sports. I don't know how you can legally tamper, but I guess they can. That opens up. A lot of fun stuff coming up. If you paid attention to the NFL, you know there is no off season. So we got a lot of content coming your guys' way. But thank you guys for today. We're signing off. Thank you for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some Spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.